I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Danielle De La Paz, Marketing Director for American Off-Road Customs, and Kevin Bailey, President of the Vegas Valley Four-Wheelers Club. Their Jeep and Bronco Barricade Go Topless Day charity event is coming up soon to raise money for local nonprofits. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
It's awesome to be here. Thanks for the time.
So first of all, Kevin, what's the Vegas Valley Four-Wheelers Club?
Vegas Valley Four-Wheelers is a full-size four-wheel drive off-road club that was started in June of 1979. We welcome all full-size four-wheel drive vehicle owners.
And Danielle, what's American Off-Road Customs?
We are a custom off-road shop that build anything 4x4, from your Jeeps, trucks, Broncos, 4Runners, anything that really goes off-road that is street legal as well.
So tell us about your Go Topless Day event coming up this year on May 17th.
Well, it's May 17th. We're going to start this at 10 a.m. We're going to have over probably around 700 Jeeps and Broncos. We're opening this up to Broncos this year. They wanted to be involved in it so badly the last couple of years, so we're inviting them out as well. So we're going to do a big parade down the Las Vegas Strip. We're going to return back to the Silverton, where we're hosting the event, benefiting Race to a Race 22 and Vegas Pet Rescue Project. Vegas Pet Rescue Project will have a pet adoption there, where Barkbusters is going to give in-home free training to anybody that adopts at the event. We're going to have a quote-unquote topless 4x4 show, because both the Jeeps and the Broncos are topless. We'll have awards for those as well. So when we return to the Silverton after our parade, the attendees will line up at their charity of choice and buy $1 raffle tickets to get a chance to win over $25,000 in donated raffle prizes. Anything from our 4x4 vendors all the way to our Vegas businesses from around town, from show tickets to family-friendly activities, all the way down to restaurants, that kind of thing. There's going to be a big bounce house and water slide and a slip and slide. And Jeep Only is going to be sponsoring this year. So we're going to have the dunk tank to dunk the management to also raise money for these charities as well. Our two charities that are involved are Race to a Race 22 and Vegas Pet Rescue Project. 30-plus vendors in vendor row as well. We've got 6 food trucks coming. After the raffle prizes are announced, there are trail rides afterwards that everybody can sign up with, since there'll be sunset trails, so it's going to go into the nighttime.
As Danielle said, Jeep Only this year jumped on board as one of the sponsors to help promote this amazing event, which is powered by American Off-Road Customs and Vegas Valley Four-Wheelers.
This is the 6th year, so we're celebrating 6 years in business and 6 years doing this Go Topless event. So it's a big year, and we've actually gotten way more space this year to accept a lot more attendees to come. We've got Bronco Barn coming. We have Turn Off Road coming. Obviously, Jeep Only will be there. We have San Hollow 4x4 tours coming, Tire Right. We have Off-Road Vixens coming, Base Camp Death Valley, Precision Window Tint, Rugged Radios, Raceline Wheels. We've got Snore coming. They're going to do an Off-Road 101 class.
Hey, Danielle, let's talk about this awesome location where you've been able to have the event this year. The Silverton Casino Lodge, located at 3333 Blue Diamond Road.
Yeah, Blue Diamond and Dean Martin.
So they've got available for this wonderful parking lot that's going to be able for all these Jeeps and Broncos to be able to line up throughout the day for the awesome parade down Las Vegas Boulevard. And then also have plenty of parking for everybody to come and hang out in the afternoon to visit the food trucks and the vendor area, support those two amazing charities of Race to Race 22 and Vegas Pet Rescue.
You're expecting about 700 Jeep and Bronco owners to come out with their vehicles, take the tops down, and parade down Las Vegas Boulevard. Is it only Jeep and Bronco owners that are going to be in the parade?
That's the main people that are going to be in the parade. We do have a few other off-road junkies that will be there showing off their rigs as well. But we are trying to keep the parade just Broncos and Jeeps because it's really a national Jeep Go Topless Day. It's literally nationwide. We're fifth in the nation for attendance to our event, and we're actually third in the nation for how much money we've raised for these two charities.
Okay, and what if the drivers don't want to take their tops off? And by tops off, we're talking vehicle tops here.
Yes, just the vehicle tops. This is a family-friendly event. It's just a play on words. It makes it a little more funny. But yes, it's totally fine. Some of our people come with the tops on. It's just something that we do bringing in the summer where we all take the tops off. And it's just a way to celebrate.
Yeah. So how did you choose those two charities who would benefit from the fundraising?
So we've worked with Race to a Race 22 for a lot of years. They attend a lot of our off-road events. We take a lot of their vets and their families out on off-road trails. When they attend our event, they hand out soldiers flyers with their pictures on the front and their stories on the back. What they do is they raise awareness for military and first responder suicide. And so we fully support the military and the first responders in that way. And we definitely want to support them. Vegas Pet Rescue Project is actually the ones that are behind Justice for Reba. So they've opened this back up and they're trying to pass that law to prosecute these people that end up doing this to these helpless animals to the highest extent. So they will actually be doing a pet adoption where they're inviting all of the foster families that take in these animals while they're waiting. And so Barkbusters is actually offered free in-home training for the people that do adopt at the event.
Okay. So you've got hundreds of vehicles driving in the parade, but how exactly is the money being raised for these charities?
So the attendees that show up, they will go straight to the charity of choice. They have their own booths and they will buy all their raffle tickets through them. So all the money goes to them.
Okay, what are some of the raffle prizes?
We have some Raceline wheels, a Terraflex lift, tires, gift certificates to various vendors. We're giving $250 off labor. We've got four of those. We've got tons of swag items, bumpers, all kinds of 4x4 raffle prizes.
But she's also forgetting about some of the top off-road events in the Western United States have ponied up some free entry registrations and weekend passes. So the off-road enthusiast is going to be able to attend a couple, three different events that happen on the western part of the United States of having a great time with the entire off-road community.
Yep, we've got a event that I personally love, and I'm probably biased, but it's called Hump and Bump. And Kevin Bailey actually runs that event. And that is in October this year. We have also Winter 4x4 Jamboree that is donated passes as well. And then also Trail Hero out at San Hollow in Utah. So those are the three major off-roading events that we have free entry into this year as well.
Nice. All right. Sounds like a really fun event. So where can people find out more about it or take part in the Go Topless Day charity event this year?
You can find us on Facebook under Go Topless LV. You can visit our website at offroadshoplasvegas.com. And you can go under the About section and Go Topless Day 2025 is there. So we have a whole website with all the pictures and everything that's going on, everybody that's at Vendor Row, all the raffle donation vendors as well, all the activities, the trail rides, everything's on there if you want to check that out. And Kevin, you tell them all your information.
Vegas Valley Four Wheelers can be found online at vv4w.org. You can find us on Facebook at Vegas Valley Four Wheelers, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, just like Go Topless LV is all over the social media markets with American Off-Road Customs, Jeep Only, and Vegas Valley Four Wheelers.
All right, perfect. So once again, those websites are offroadshoplasvegas.com if you want to find out more about American Off-Road Customs, offroadshoplasvegas.com. You can also find out more about the Go Topless Day charity event this year, either there or on Facebook. You can go to the Go Topless LV page on Facebook. And then if you want to find out more about Vegas Valley Four Wheelers, the 4x4 Club, very simple, vv4w.org. That's the number four. So vv4w.org. And we've been speaking today with Danielle De La Paz, Marketing Director for American Off-Road Customs and the Go Topless Day charity event, and also Kevin Bailey, President of the Vegas Valley Four Wheelers 4x4 Club. And of course, the Jeep and Bronco Barricade Go Topless Day is coming up on Saturday, May 17th. It's happening at Silverton Casino, 3333 Blue Diamond Road. It's starting at 10 a.m., has the rollout for the parade. Then you've got the vendors, the food trucks, the family-friendly activities, the raffle drawing, and trail rides happening later. So find out more about it on Facebook at Go Topless LV or on offroadshoplasvegas.com. I appreciate you both being here, letting us know more about this 6th annual Jeep and Bronco Barricade Go Topless Day charity event happening right here in Las Vegas, and also the local nonprofits that you're raising money for through this event, which are again Race to a Race 22 and Vegas Pet Rescue Project. So thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Heather. I really appreciate you interviewing us.
Oh no.
What's going on in here?
I have to go to the DMV tomorrow.
Why would you ever need all that stuff?
Everyone knows if you don't go to the DMV before dawn, you won't get in. I'm just making sure I have everything I need so I can camp out all day.
Hold up. What'd you say? That's not how it works anymore. You don't even need to line up when you go to the DMV anymore. You check in on your phone by scanning a QR code with your camera at the front door. They'll tell you when to come back so you don't have to spend all day waiting. You can visit the Nevada DMV website at dmv.nv.gov. Get your business done online, not in line.
Many of our U.S. veterans and service members face challenges, mental health struggles, housing obstacles, food insecurity, and social isolation, to name just a few. I'm Bob Woodruff. My family and I started the Bob Woodruff Foundation in 2006 after I sustained a life-threatening injury while reporting from Iraq. Our service members had my back that day, and we need to have theirs now more than ever. At our foundation, we invest in solutions, so learn more about our work at bobwoodrufffoundation.org/success.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vail, and I'm speaking with Tim Hughes, Executive Director of Teach for America Nevada. Next week is Teacher Appreciation Week, and according to recent research by the Pew Research Center, just one-third of teachers report being extremely or very satisfied with their job overall. Tim, thank you so much for being here today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, what is Teach for America Nevada?
Yeah, so we are a nonprofit, and we're really working to ensure that all kids in Nevada have access to an excellent education. And we do that in a couple of ways. First, we recruit, support, and train promising leaders to serve as classroom teachers in some of the schools who need them the most, local schools across the valley. And then we support our alumni to really think about, given a variety of positions they hold, of how they can influence and help improve our education system across Nevada. We are just celebrating our 20th year here in Nevada this school year, and have over 800 alumni. And those alumni range from folks who are still in the classroom all the way to alumni who are now serving in our legislature, making decisions on behalf of kids and families, but really driven by that mission of an excellent education for all kids.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So what are teachers in Las Vegas specifically experiencing right now?
Yeah, you read some of that research, and this is a national challenge. Teacher satisfaction is sort of at an all-time low and much lower than most workers in the US, and that is certainly true here in Nevada as well. And particularly since the pandemic, we ask teachers to do more and more every day with fewer resources. So, teachers are, in addition to the big things like pay and working conditions and workload and all those sorts of things, we're asking teachers to do some pretty monumental tasks. They're serving as counselors, they're serving as mentors, as instructors of, content and instruction, trying to help students gain the necessary skills, plus all of, supporting them, their social emotional needs, interacting with parents. So it seems that each successive year we're asking our teachers to do more and more. And, certainly our local teachers are experiencing that as well.
All right, so that would explain why overall teacher satisfaction is so low right now. What needs to happen in order to improve that satisfaction level among our teachers?
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, the thing that I always try to do and at Teach for America is really just listen to our teachers and hear what their experience is. I think sometimes we can make assumptions about what it's like to be a teacher. And, sometimes we know what those factors are and sometimes we miss the mark. And so I think just asking our teachers what they need and what they're experiencing. So I think that's one thing. Certainly continuing to think about teacher workload and is it feasible for them to do all the things we're asking them to do and look for strategies to, to mitigate some of those things. So I think we could be doing more there. Even just we keep doing more as a state to help our teachers enter the profession. There's a lot of hoops they have to jump through, a lot of financial costs just to even become a teacher. So, how do we continue to lower those barriers so that they get into the profession and then obviously support them ongoing? And then obviously the small things, I think about when I was a teacher, I started my career as a middle school science teacher. And, the big things matter, certainly, again, pay, working conditions, but also the small things really help encourage our teachers. So I think about, the times that parents would reach out to me with just a quick thank you note or a phone call, or, just making sure I had regular communication with parents, waving during kid pickup every day. It's the small things that matter too, just to help, make sure that our teachers know how much they're valued and we appreciate them and that, their contributions matter a whole lot to the future of our state.
Okay, so with Teacher Appreciation Week next week, what does appreciation look like for educators? Is it those small things, or is there more we can do?
Yeah, I think it's all the above, really. And I love Teacher Appreciation Week because it really highlights the great work that our teachers do. But I would encourage all of us to think about how do we appreciate our teachers ongoing all the time, not just during Teacher Appreciation Week. But yeah, certainly those small things, folks can volunteer, ask your child's teacher, what you might do to be able to help out in their classroom. Again, even small things, a lot of teachers are spending money out of their own pocket on supplies and materials for their kids. So, helping with donations can certainly, be a huge benefit. And I know teachers always appreciate that. But again, whatever folks are able to do, given their capacity, whether it's something small and just a quick thank you to being able to show up at events and support, what's happening in the classroom, I think that full spectrum is helpful and something that, hopefully each of us can figure out what we could do to make sure our teachers feel that love and support.
Yeah, for sure. Now that covers what students and families can do to support educators. How can communities on a bigger level take action to support educators?
Yeah, it's a great question. So, we have lots of examples here in the Valley, over time of communities really embracing their local neighborhood schools and helping to, help them with bigger projects. So, some of our schools here locally have done things like they've had, campus cleanup days or mural painting. So, there's volunteer activities that go on in all of our local schools from time to time. And so that's a way for communities to get involved for sure. I would say one other way is just continually having, communication with your local neighborhood schools and understanding what's going on and what their needs are and both what the strengths are of those schools and what some of the needs are and figuring out how you can tap into that. I would say on a larger systems level, though, communities can really advocate for policies at the local and state level that are pro-teacher and that really support our teachers. Again, whether that is something big like teacher pay and compensating folks, or again, making sure that they can enter the profession or making sure that we can help retain them. So there's lots of those types of system level decisions that communities can advocate for as they come up as well.
Yeah, for sure. Now, beyond the teachers themselves, people often talk negatively about the education system in Nevada as a whole. What's the truth behind our education system? What does it look like from the inside?
Yeah, it's an important question because, again, there's a lot of beliefs out there, and some of those are true and some of those might be misguided. So, you know, we certainly have our challenges as a state and here locally in Las Vegas. You know, you look at some of the achievement rates. And so, you know, something in Clark County, something like only 40% of students, actually 39% of students who are in third grade are proficient readers. At the state level, that's a little bit higher at 40%. So we certainly have those challenges. But we also have a lot of bright spots, and you know, we don't always talk about those. We have some of the best magnet and career technical programs in the country. When you dig into some of those national rankings you see for Nevada, we've seen over the last many years some good academic growth. You know, we still have a long way to go, but we have shown some increases in content areas and academics. And, you know, I think the best thing to do really is, you know, while people may not have the best view of our education system as a whole, when you talk to parents and families about their local school and what's happening, you know, 9 times out of 10, they'll have positive things to say about the relationships they have with the school staff, the way that their child feels cared for, and, you know, feeling connected to their local school. So when you look at the systems level, people might have a more pessimistic view. But when you look at the local level, you certainly will hear a lot of those examples of the great things that are happening in our schools. That's not to minimize, we have a lot of work to do. And certainly, you know, all kids are not receiving a high quality education, which is really, again, as I mentioned at the top of this, what Teach for America Nevada is really striving to do to make sure that we can continue to transform our education system so that it works for all kids.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So where can people go for more information about Teach for America Nevada or how to support our educators for Teacher Appreciation Week?
Yeah, so you can go to our website, teachforamerica.org, to learn more about our work and specifically our work in Nevada. And then I would say for Teacher Appreciation Week, again, there's a lot of events that typically happen. Those are often at the local school level. And so I would just reach out directly to your school and just say like, hey, I know Teacher Appreciation Week. Is there anything I can help out with or, you know, something I can bring? Because again, there's not always coordinated system-wide Teacher Appreciation Week events, but probably just reaching out to your local school is the best bet there.
Yeah, awesome. All right. So once again, the website for Teach for America is teachforamerica.org, teachforamerica.org. You can find out more about Teach for America Nevada, what they do in our community, and the education system as a whole. And then, of course, next week is Teacher Appreciation Week, and we want to show that support for our educators. So reach out to your child's school, see if you can help out. Those teachers really deserve our help and support. We've been speaking today with Tim Hughes, Executive Director of Teach for America Nevada. And Tim, I really appreciate you being here with us, talking about teachers and the education system and what it looks like in Nevada, what we can do better, and what is actually really working well. So it's Teacher Appreciation Week. Of course, it's a great time to talk about this, but our teachers work hard most of the year. In fact, probably all year round, and we don't even know it. So I really appreciate you being here sharing with us today. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you. And thanks so much for highlighting our teachers and for helping to encourage our community to rally behind them. So thank you so much.
Teachers are dynamic leaders, shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Achieving this takes skill and expertise. They're tireless explorers, creatively discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, experimenting, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, and connecting with each other, leading by example. Experience the unique joy of helping students thrive. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready to begin? Explore teaching at teach.org. A campaign supported by the U.S. Department of Education, Teach.org, and 1 million teachers of color.
You're listening to the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. I'm Heather Vale, and joining me is Kevin Riley, board member for Hyundai Hope on Wheels, and 12-year-old cancer survivor Emmy Cole. The nonprofit Hyundai Hope on Wheels is a leader in pediatric cancer research and plans to expand its efforts this year. Kevin and Emmy, thank you both for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
So first of all, Kevin, what exactly is Hyundai Hope on Wheels?
Well, Hyundai Hope on Wheels is a pediatric cancer research charity focused on putting an end to pediatric cancer. So every time a Hyundai is sold, Hyundai dealers and Hyundai Motor America, they put their money together, and that money goes to fund pediatric cancer research grants all across the nation. Now, this year alone, we'll donate $27 million in pediatric cancer research grants, bringing our lifetime total to $277 million.
Wow, that's fantastic. Now, how common is pediatric cancer?
Well, unfortunately, pediatric cancer is all too common here in the United States. Every 36 minutes, a child is diagnosed with pediatric cancer. Thankfully, the survival rate has risen to 85% in the United States, but charities like Hyundai Hope on Wheels were committed to funding pediatric cancer research grants until that survival rate reaches 100%.
Yeah, that would be great. Emmy, could you tell us about your own personal battle against cancer?
Yeah. When I was 2 years old, my mom and dad found a back pain so bad I could hardly walk. We rushed to Seattle Children's Hospital, where I was diagnosed with high-risk neuroblastoma and given only a 50% chance of surviving. I was treated for 18 months and spent 200 nights at Seattle Children's Hospital.
Wow. So with a 50% chance of survival, you really beat that.
Yeah, I did.
That's great. What was it like going through all that and having to undergo childhood cancer treatment so that you could beat that disease?
Well, I was only so young, but I know that it was very hard for my family and I with all the treatments I had to go through with only a 50% chance of survival rate.
Yeah. And what's your situation now? Is it completely in remission?
Well, my team right now is focused on survivorship, so I see more than audiology, cardiology, endocrinology, and all the other ology doctors to keep me healthy.
That's great. Now, Kevin, why is this research so important to the fight against childhood cancer?
Well, it's a great question, Heather, because research unlocks cures. And what we found over the 27 years at Hyundai Hope on Wheels is that there's no shortage of brilliant doctors who have great ideas to find cures for pediatric cancers. Now, what there is a shortage of is funding. And so, again, that's where Hyundai Hope on Wheels comes in, puts millions of dollars to fund these pediatric cancer research projects and get us ever closer to cures for cancer.
Okay. And how exactly does Hope on Wheels raise this money for cancer research?
Yeah, so we raise the money primarily through a partnership between Hyundai Motor America and Hyundai dealers. So every time a Hyundai is sold, Hyundai dealers and Hyundai Motor America, we put that money together, and that money goes to Hyundai Hope on Wheels to fund pediatric cancer research grants all across the nation.
Nice. Okay. And Emmy, why do you think it's important for everyone to help out in the fight against childhood cancer?
I think it's so important to help in the fight against childhood cancer because we really need to get that survival rate up to 100 so every kid and family does not have to hear the words, your child has cancer.
Yeah. How will you feel when we get to that point where it's 100% survival rate for people who have childhood cancer?
I would feel so great and honored because I get to be a part of the fight against childhood cancer. And that's my number one goal and my hope that we can get that goal to happen because it is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Kevin, what are the plans to expand Hope on Wheels this year?
Yeah, so it's a very exciting year on our 27th anniversary. This is the year that Hyundai Hope on Wheels begins its global reach. And so we expanded up into Canada earlier this year, and we're expanding into Mexico. So Hyundai Hope on Wheels will now cover all of North America, funding critical pediatric cancer research throughout all of the North American continent. Now, as we move forward, we're looking to expand Hyundai Hope on Wheels globally because children are affected by pediatric cancer all across this globe, and we want to help children all across the world fight pediatric cancer and win the battle against pediatric cancer.
Yeah, that would be great. Now, in Canada and in Mexico, when it's there, do those divisions focus on pediatric cancer research in those specific countries, or is it where they all work together as one?
So it's an excellent question. So they're going to fund the research hospitals in their particular region. So certainly up in Canada, you have a lot of research institutions in the Toronto area, for example. But also too, what's interesting about Hyundai Hope on Wheels going global is all these researchers talk with each other. And the more we have researchers across the world talking to each other, the more quickly we advance cures for pediatric cancer.
Yeah, that's great. Emmy, what are some final words that you would like the audience to know about the fight against childhood cancer?
Stay strong, keep hope alive, and let's get that survival rate up to 100%.
Nice. And Kevin, where can people go for more information about Hyundai Hope on Wheels?
Yeah, they can go to HyundaiHopeOnWheels.org and you'll learn all about wonderful cancer survivors like Emmy here and read about their stories of courage and bravery. You'll also learn about the research that's being conducted now to put ends to pediatric cancers, and then also to an opportunity to donate and help fund pediatric cancer research.
Fantastic. All right. So once again, that website is HyundaiHopeOnWheels.org, HYUNDAI, HopeOnWheels.org. You can find out the success stories. You can find out about the cancer research that Hyundai Hope on Wheels is doing in the field of pediatric cancer, the grants they've given out. And if you'd like to donate, you can do that as well. HyundaiHopeOnWheels.org. And we've been speaking today with Kevin Riley, board member for Hyundai Hope on Wheels, and also 12-year-old childhood cancer survivor, Emmy Cole. And I really appreciate you both being here. Kevin, for letting us know more about the nonprofit, and Emmy, for sharing your personal story and how you have beaten childhood cancer against those odds and also helping to continue that fight so that other kids can benefit as well. So you're both very inspirational, and I appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Learning your child has cancer causes an emotional and financial crisis. Often, the best place for treatment is far from home. But with the help of the National Children's Cancer Society, children battling cancer can get to life-saving treatment, whether it's across town or across the country. To learn how we give families hope and give their children the best shot at survival, visit thenccs.org. That's thenccs.org. Because no family should go through childhood cancer alone.
I'm Heather Vale, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. Joining me is Rebecca Massiera Kaufman, co-author of Fit CEO, Be the Leader of Your Life. Rebecca, thank you so much for being here today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So what inspired you and your co-author to write the book, Fit CEO, Be the Leader of Your Life?
Well, Heather, over my years as an executive, I noted the questions that people would ask me whenever I spoke publicly. And things they would ask me would be, well, how do you stay so energetic? Or how do you manage your hectic schedule? Or when do you play or relax or see family? So I wrote a book about all of my habits, and I asked my personal trainer at the time if she would be my co-author.
Nice. Okay. So the subtitle, Be the Leader of Your Life, what are the key principles to becoming the leader in your own life?
It really starts with intention. What do you want? And where do you want to go? If you don't know where you want to go, well, then any path will get you there. But if you do know what you want, then setting your intention is the start to achieving the life you want. And then we go into the book about set aside the time in small, doable increments and to build the routines and habits to get you there and commit. It's really a book of small habits to make big changes.
Nice. Now, while we're making those small changes along the journey, what are your suggestions for making the most out of each day?
Well, the key is to do a number of things. You eat right, step one. Move. Have a walking meeting. Walk with a friend. Or alone, safely. Get outdoors, get some light, get sunshine, and then stop. Smile, put your arms in the air, open your chest, get some oxygen, find awe and have humor when things start to get hard. And the key is be you. Get on the floor every day, get up, build your muscles, find or be in gratitude and move some more. As I'm sure you've noticed, it's really about movement, getting outside, but also managing your inside, smiling, finding awe, being you, having gratitude.
Those are all fantastic things to do. But, you know, some of us have extremely hectic lives. So how do we manage to schedule those workouts, those walks, those getting outside bits into our day?
that's the key, is every chance you can, take the stairs, park a few blocks away from where you're going, have a walking meeting, stand up between meetings, move, take a phone call on the floor, do things to really get the more movement into your daily habits. And the beauty of it is it actually de-stresses you.
That's awesome. So fit the physical activities into what we're already doing. Now, sometimes we have to just sit there and work, of course. So what are some ways that we can free up time and boost productivity in the office or whatever work we happen to be doing?
Yeah, one of the things that is super powerful we talk about in the book is that saying no, if you will, or taking something off your calendar is a power move. So really thinking about your calendar and blocking the time. Maybe you start with just 10 minutes a day that you're going to block to go for a walk before lunch, before dinner, before breakfast, after breakfast, wherever you can block it and make it a habit. And then as you build up, if you will, the muscle of blocking time, maybe you start to block 15 minutes or maybe you block 2 10-minute segments in your calendar for you, for your physical health, for your mental health. And the link between the two is enormous because, as you know, if you feel weak muscularly, if you feel you're in a weak body, it's often hard to have confidence.
Yeah, for sure. So little breaks throughout the day. Now, sometimes people become workaholics and that's hard enough, let alone taking a vacation. So what are some of the benefits of getting away and taking a break?
You know, it's so important. Like we call it in the book, we talk about a number of the R's, and one of those is resetting. And taking a break is the key to reset. It gives you a chance to step back, take a perspective on things versus having them, as you know, right on your chest or your arm or your face. And you gain perspective. You get to zoom out on your life and sort of zoom out on the bigger picture. It's very powerful to take a break. You actually get to know yourself better and put your own oxygen mask on first and breathe. So the power of a break is multifold at all levels of your health. And we really encourage that taking care of yourself is not selfish. And that's so important. I want to repeat it, that being about caring for yourself is the opposite of selfish and is actually critical.
Yeah. So you're talking a lot about balance. You go from the details, you go from the trees, zooming out to the bigger picture, the forest. Now, when we actually do manage to take a break and take a vacation or even traveling for work, sometimes the schedule can become completely different and it's harder to stay healthy and balanced. So what are some tips for staying on track while we're traveling?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, be really nice to yourself. So if you get off track what your plan was, that's fine. Don't beat yourself up. That's step one. Step two is, again, calendar it. Decide, okay, tomorrow, when do I want to go for a swim, go for a walk? Move, whatever it is that you like to do. Some people it's bicycling, some people it's walking, some people it's dancing. Put it on your schedule. If you schedule it, it will happen. And one of the keys is schedule it with a friend. We call it buddy up, because that commitment to yourself is great. But wow, often when we commit to someone else, we're even more likely to show up in that habit, if you will. So if you're on vacation or at home, do it with a friend. Say, let's go dancing, let's go for a bike ride, let's go for a swim, let's go for a walk, and you're much less likely to cancel it.
So obviously you've shared some fantastic tips that everyone can use regardless of what they do, and there's a lot more in the book. So where can people find out more about you or get a copy of your book, Fit CEO, Be the Leader of Your Life?
Great. Thanks, Heather. My website is rmkgroup.com. That's rmkgroupllc.com. And on my website under publications, there's a link to Amazon for the book, or you can go straight to Amazon and get Fit CEO, one word, Be the Leader of Your Life.
Awesome. Okay. So once again, the website is rmkgroupllc.com. RMK stands for Rebecca Massiera Kaufman, rmkgroupllc.com. You can find out more about what she does, podcasts, publications, plenty of links there to explore more, including get the book Fit CEO, Be the Leader of Your Life, which is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books, rmkgroupllc.com. And we've been speaking today with Rebecca Massiera-Kaufman, author of Fit CEO, Be the Leader of Your Life, a fantastic book with short chapters, tips you can take with you, easy to learn, easy to read. Rebecca, I really appreciate you being here and sharing your thoughts, your tips, your strategies for having a better life, being the leader of our life. Very much appreciated. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Heather.
Time out.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the NIAA and the Nevada Athletic Directors Association.
Mental health impacts many people in many different ways. It could range from just not feeling right or being run down to more serious illnesses like bipolar disorder and schizophrenia.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And with that, we're taking a look at what mental health looks like right now. I'm Kristen Diaz.
I'm David Rankin, and this is the State of Mental Health, an Odyssey Conversation.
Drew Robinson spent several years playing in Major League Baseball for the Texas Rangers and the St. Louis Cardinals. Part of that time was spent in the big leagues and in the minors before he tried to take his own life before the 2020 baseball season.
He sat down with Odyssey sports host Mark Willard about his journey and his current role with the San Francisco Giants. He's helping those players with their own mental health challenges.
Just to give our listeners a little bit of a quick background on the day that you experienced trying to take an attempt on your own life and suffered a gunshot wound to your eye. And you and I have discussed this a little bit before. I wonder if you could take our listeners through that process in terms of how soon after this attempt did you start to feel something different in terms of what you wanted to do with your life?
Yeah, I mean, for me, pretty fortunately, not only surviving, but pretty quickly after coming to for my surgeries, I experienced this sense of not having to hide anything anymore. And so that was able to prompt me into accepting the amazing people around my life and the help that was always available to me. And so I felt pretty lucky to not only come out of it surviving, but to come out of it with a willingness to accept that help. And so for me, it was pretty immediate to where I wanted to kind of mirror or add to things that were being done like in the industry, like Kevin Love, DeMar DeRozan, and some other athletes who were open about their journey and their battles at times in hopes to help other people that are following them to maybe start the process a little bit sooner. So for me, it was pretty immediate that I wanted to try to add to the already amazing work that some athletes were doing in the space and hopefully not have to learn the lesson in the same way that I did.
Well, it's interesting to me that you talk about starting to work with others. I wonder how quickly after this, because I imagine at the beginning, you're thinking a lot about yourself and wanting to live and how do you get to that spot? So how quickly do you get through that and then get to the point where you want to dedicate the rest of your life to helping others?
Yeah, to be honest, it was the opposite. I felt like maybe it was just subconsciously, I knew that I was going to be able to get the personal help and get myself lean on the people for myself. But for me, I was immediately thinking about how can I help other people, because I just had this very, extreme example of it doesn't matter who you are, what kind of life you're living, these things can happen to anybody. And so because on paper, my life shouldn't have led me to doing what I did, I had this very strong wake up call that if I can experience this, not that my life is perfect or by any means, but if I could be experiencing this, then a lot of people out there could be. So let me try to use this to try to help others who might be relating, even though on paper, people might not realize that they are going through something that could be relatable to my story. So for me, to be honest, it was the exact opposite. It was, immediately, how can I use this to try to help others not go through what I just went through?
Drew, I have to imagine, and I'm just guessing here, but when something like this happens, I would imagine people go, oh, Drew decided he wanted to live, and so now he's in a better place. But I have to imagine there are all kinds of ups and downs that still, maybe even today, still happen. So just because you had this experience and decided that you do want to live, I have to imagine tons of ups and downs since then. So how hard has the battle been just for you since that day?
Yeah, I appreciate the question, because that is something that is I feel very strongly about, and I think is a really important topic that I talk on whenever talking about my story, my journey. Because, yeah, I mean, to be honest, I was one of the people that believed that I was going to be all good. Like, I'm getting the help. I have nothing to lose. I have nothing to hide anymore, so I'm going to be good. And I remember very naively thinking, like, and I even remember saying it out loud to people that I was talking to throughout the process very early on. I was like, I'm never going to have a bad day again. If I do, then I'll just think back to how I just survived a near-death experience. A very unlikely thing is going to power me through those hard times, and I'll never struggle again, basically, naively thinking that. But, yeah, these last 5 years, been a constant reminder that it's a continuous journey, that it's a healing journey, not a healed journey. So I'm really big on talking about things like that. And even on my 10th anniversary, which I call my Life Appreciation Day now, which was just a couple weeks ago now, 2 weeks ago now, the message that I reflected on and shared publicly was that it is a continuous journey, and it's healing, and that the waves that come with it can sometimes convince me that I am healed, but then at times the waves that during the lulls, I can convince myself that I'm the same person I was on that day. So it is an ebb and flow kind of experience. I mean, it's something that is just a constant reminder that there's always work to be done, but there's always gratitude to be had when doing the process, because just like myself, and I think everybody in the world who hasn't taken things for granted at certain times, and so the waves of anything that comes with life can become overwhelming at times, but the beautiful thing is that we are all resilient, and we've all made it through our worst days of our lives, and we can get through it the next time it comes to. So, yeah, unfortunately, I've gone through phases since my attempt where I've actually fallen into some suicidal ideation again. But ironically, the fruits of my labor from the work that I have been doing has allowed me to get through those times with a sense of patience and understanding that it won't always be this way, because when it comes to feelings and emotions, everything's temporary, and it'll come to an end at some point. So the long-winded way of saying, yeah, it is a continuous journey.
Well, first of all, happy belated Life Appreciation Day.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. And when you do start to feel poorly again, what do you do now? What tools do you use?
Yeah, I'm a big believer in consistent therapy, even when things aren't going bad or whenever I'm not struggling. So consistent therapy, journaling, and exercise. That's what I call my trifecta, the three things that I do try to do most consistently. But when things really get a little bit more heavy, I really start paying attention to somatic things like my sleep and really lean on my support system. So I'm a big believer in vulnerability now. And so for 27 years, I try to take a level of confidence at all times that was just unrealistic and act like I had all the answers and I'll get through it, everything's fine. But when those times get really heavy, I'll tell my dad, I'll tell my friends that, hey, I really need help, and I know this might sound a little irrational or dramatic, but I'm really having some heavy thoughts now, and can you just hold some space for me to let me get this out, or can you remind me of some of the things that we've gone through together the last 5 years, or just overall life? So I'm really big on community connection, some physical, somatic practices, whether it's working out, moving our body, reflection time alone with my journal, and then some professional resources as well with my therapist, psychiatrist that we meet with almost weekly.
You touched on it there for a moment, because a lot of what you were just saying was you connect direct with certain people. But I do wonder if there are some physical activities that you go directly to in times of struggle.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as good at it as I would like to be, or I wish that I could claim. But I really do think that physical work doesn't just have to be working out, some somatic work, some meditation, just kind of like sitting with space and not letting our mind control us at all times, just letting it just have some time where we just recognize our thoughts and not have to act on it or try to pay attention to it in an overwhelming way. But yeah, I think physical exercise is a huge thing. And my 16-year-old self would probably say that I just try to work out to be good at baseball or try to look a certain way in the mirror. But now I've like completely changed my idea on that it really does get all the endorphins firing. Can't speak from a professional standpoint here, but It's just something, I don't know the science, but it's just every time I work out, I've never felt worse after a workout. So it's just something that a lot of people can attest to, that we always feel a little bit better about ourselves afterwards. And it's just one piece of the puzzle to create some sustainability and filling our cup in a little bit more neutral way.
Drew, I think this is maybe even the harder one. Like, you're talking a lot about how a person can help themselves. I really wonder about this. How do you help someone else who's in that spot? What are some of the tools you've learned that you can use for helping someone else who's in the middle of a struggle?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a really big believer in just consistent reminders and implementing normal checkups within our normal day-to-day or week-to-week conversations, or however often we meet with someone. Just let it be a part of the equation. It doesn't need to be this lifestyle change overnight. Like, only thing we talk about is our mental health, but at least having it be a part of the equation and letting the person know that we're always available, or that we'd be willing to help them through and plant the seed that maybe they don't need some support right this second, but because we checked on in a month ago, and now yesterday they had a tough day or a tough situation in their life that they would otherwise try to combat alone. Maybe they remember a month ago you opened the door and offered to be an ear for them to talk to. And then within that, I think the biggest thing is not always having to jump to advice. A lot of times we just like to be heard. And so sometimes it's holding space and literally just being a listener and not bringing our own personal beliefs or experiences in a relatable way at times, but just letting them know, like, hey, that does sound like a tough time, or that does sound pretty challenging or confusing. Let's get through it together by starting with just hearing it out. And then maybe the next conversation or later in the conversation, we go to some advice or some techniques that you can do. But a lot of times, as you know, like, when we're having a hard time or we get cut off on the way to work, all we want to do is just vent it out, just get it out of our body. So sometimes just holding space and being a non-judgmental ear is the strongest first step that you can help with supporting someone through a tough time. Because, again, I don't know the science behind it, but always just feel a little bit lighter after we vent some stuff out or purge some things off our mind, off our chest, and not internalize it so deeply.
No doubt about it. I mean, I'll make an assumption here because I think that this is a fact, right? Like, happiness comes from within, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's your own perspective, but yeah, I think that it's something that is a byproduct of a lot of things that happen internally and routinely and habitually. So it's just another part-time experience that we go through in life. It's not like we just become happy one day and all of a sudden we're happy the rest of our lives. It's another temporary emotion that we experience at times, a lot of times, and resulted from something that we did prior to that time.
Drew, you've told me before, if we circle back to that day where you made an attempt on your own life, you've told me that you had the thought that day, wait a minute, I want to live. How quickly did that thought come to you?
Yeah, it was actually the day after. So I sent it around 8 p.m. on April 16th, and then was just kind of waiting for the end for about 20 hours, and the next day around 3:45 p.m., I just finally had a moment of, okay, maybe I do want to survive this. Let me try to call for help. And so for me, it was about an 18 to 20 hour process of just kind of understanding that something crazy is happening and I shouldn't be surviving this. But so maybe I should survive or should try to get through this and let me try to call for help myself. And so around 3:50 p.m. the next day, I called 911 and luckily was able to get some amazing medical care and make it through.
Your dedication to consistently sharing your story and your experiences is so admirable, so impressive. And again, we really, really appreciate your time today. Thank you, Drew.
Of course. Thank you for making time for it. Appreciate it.
This has been The State of Mental Health, an Odyssey Conversation.
You can listen to more shows like this one or get your favorite radio station anywhere at any time on the free Odyssey app.
For everyone at Odyssey News, I'm David Rankin.
And I'm Kristen Diaz. Thanks so much for listening to this Odyssey Conversation.
Every year, more than 240,000 Hispanics attempt to end their own lives in the United States. In 2020 alone, more than 4,500 Hispanic men and women died by suicide in this country, according to the CDC. Among Latino youth, one in six high school students had serious thoughts of suicide. But it's not all bad news. Our culture, rich in family and community connections, can help prevent suicide. The CDC recommends some relief measures, such as reducing access to lethal means among people at risk for suicide and engaging them in shared activities. The good news is that there is help at your fingertips. If you or someone you know needs help now, call or text 988. Find free available resources at wearelatinx.com. This message brought to you by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include this Monday, May 5th at 8 p.m. benefiting Nevada Public Radio, and Monday, May 19th at 8 p.m. benefiting the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Get tickets or find out more details at mondaysdark.com. That's mondaysdark.com. And Three Square's Bag Childhood Hunger campaign is doubling its impact thanks to matching sponsors through May 31st. For every dollar donated, Three Square can now provide up to six wholesome, nutritious meals to Southern Nevada children and families in need. Find out more or make a donation at threesquare.org. That's threesquare.org.